It's interesting in the day and age we live that the moment I start talking about one word, your mind will race in a bunch of different directions, the word being security. There are financial securities. Some of you that are financially tuned in, you know what I'm talking about. Security is a real concern in our world today, isn't it? Undoubtedly, you have been watching the news. With multiple terror organizations that are out there, do you really think we're secure? We used to feel that way, didn't we? With rogue nations gaining access to nuclear warheads, and the minute they get them, start threatening to use them, do you feel secure? The reality of the possibility of World War III is here. But the political and global realm isn't the only place where we feel a lack of security. The government has a thing they call social security. And we all know that that's misnamed. Maybe it should be social insecurity. Our computers, our private information, our credit cards, our passwords, our bank accounts all face the possibility of being hacked and stolen. Why, even your identity can be stolen today. I used to do a thing with my mother when I was trying to get by with stealing a cookie or something. I would go in, and I wouldn't make any pretense. She wasn't really militant about not eating her cookies. But I would go in and she'd say, "Scott, are you getting in the cookie?" She could hear me rattling the cookie. "Are you getting in the cookie jar again?" And I would walk past her with a cookie crumb. "I am not who you think I am." Trying to get rid of my identity. But there are those who will take it from you nowadays. As recently as 3 weeks ago, my email was hacked. I'd had it safe for over 20 years, the same password for over 20 years. Maybe they finally figured it out. Those of you who are in the computer realm are going, "Ugh, same password for 30 years. My email was hacked, and my Amazon account was hacked. And the gift card money that I had reserved in there was spent. Supposedly, I bought a phone for some lady over in Coos Bay, nice guy that I am. And I went and I changed all of my passwords, and I went and I got new credit cards. I ordered new credit cards and new debit card. And I hope I'm secure. Now, this isn't a commercial for LifeLock or any other of such protection companies. Is it just me, though? Or does it seem like giving all of your information, all of your credit cards, all of everything to one company so that they can monitor to make sure that nobody else gets all of your information? Might not be a good thing. Thankfully, I'm not inclined to hack into your accounts. I wouldn't even if I could, but the truth of the matter is I am computer illiterate and I wouldn't be able to. But let me just say this, if I were going to hack into something, I would hack into LifeLock. because they've got all your information. And you pay them to have it. I'm not saying that these type of companies aren't legitimate, aren't worth their weight in gold. I'm sure they've done wonderful things of protecting people. But the reality is, we all know in the day and age we live, LifeLock isn't secure. Even if someone doesn't hack into your financial accounts, money really isn't all that secure either. I'm sure that my girls have a sixth sense. They can smell when I have cash in my wallet. I'm just as convinced that when I go through the store, any store, that they have a device that reads exactly how much cash I have in my wallet and exactly how much money is in my bank account. You know those things that beep if you go out and you still have, supposedly you have a magnetic strip on something that you purchased or didn't purchase, and it beeps? My theory is those are the devices that read how much money we have. And when it beeps, and you know you've been through the checkout, you know you've paid for it, and you go out the door and it beeps, it's not telling you that you stole anything. What it's telling them is, we didn't get all his money, come back! Your money is not secure. Do you know that the statistics are coming up over and over again that 90% of people live paycheck to paycheck nowadays? 90% of people have no reserve, and if they lost their job, which isn't all that secure, they would be in trouble. The reality is, you can explore any area of life you like, and try as we might to be secure, we are not secure. Your information, your identity, your money, your stuff, your children, anything that you hold dear can be taken from you at any moment. Nothing is secure. Except for what Christ has offered and has been accepted by his saints. Turn with me very quickly. You think I can't get it done, to the book of Romans. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to have you come back. If you didn't bring a Bible, we're a Bible-believing church. Bring your Bibles. We'll be in the Bible. We want to show you what's there. I didn't mean that as any way of a shaming or anything. I'm just saying we preach the Bible. If you want to see it, we've got it. Okay? Romans chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. Okay? Romans chapter 8 is a fascinating chapter, probably my favorite chapter in all of God's Word. It is the chapter that's held me together through many storms in my life. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be." That's the starting point of a very blessed part of Romans chapter 8, where we as Christians have hope. And if you go down through this passage, you see something very, very interesting. One of the things that you see that is interesting is all that Christ has done, all that God has done, all that the Holy Spirit has done on behalf of those who accept his gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Those of us who have been together know that we struggle. We've been in Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, "The things that I don't want to do, those are the very things that I do. The things that I don't that I do, those are the very things I know I'm not supposed to do." And we can relate with that. We have a fleshly body. We still have a propensity to sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who have trusted in what he did on the cross, has secured a place in heaven, and your place is secure beyond anything you can imagine. It doesn't need an alarm. No one's going to take it from you. No one's going to steal it. You can't even take it from yourself. If you are in Christ, you're secure. As you walk down through this passage, it's a wonderful thing. And we won't take the time to go through it, because I'll just point out this. In this passage, we have already seen that the creation is groaning in expectation of a day when the curse is lifted. We have seen that the saints are groaning because we struggle with what's going on in our lives and in the world. The Holy Spirit of God is moving and working in us, and we are groaning. And even the Holy Spirit of God himself in this passage is groaning. And he's groaning on our behalf. He's praying on our behalf. He's interceding on our behalf. And he is interceding for us to know and live the will of God. For Christians, the hope of future glory is secure, not because of anything we have done, but according to this passage, what God, the triune God of the universe, has done for us. We have nothing to brag about. Zip. We are no different than anyone out there. We are sinners. But if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are sinners saved by grace. Let me just point to verse 16 very quickly. That says, the Spirit himself, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit of God, according to 1 Corinthians, has taken up residence within you, and he is communicating to you the very fact that you belong to God. You're his. The Holy Spirit, in verse 26, helps us in our weakness. One of the things that is weak there is that we don't know always how to pray. In fact, most of the time we don't know how to pray. And the Holy Spirit of God is actively involved in praying for us. According to verse 23 of Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is really the down payment or the earnest for what is yet to come. He's the first fruit. Last week we spent some considerable time in looking at God the Father, what he did. His plan of salvation included foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justifying, and glorifying. And we took those five things and we pointed out that all of them are a done deal. In God's mind, they have happened. God foresaw you in the future. He looked in eternity in the future. He foresaw, he knew, and he called, he predestined who would come to know him. He made a determination who would be saved. That doesn't go over with some people. And if it rubs you wrong, you need to come and talk with me. I need to show you that it's a very blessed doctrine that the Word of God proclaims. I don't have time to do that right now. We saw last week that he calls. You hear people say, I was searching and I found God. No, before you found God, God came looking for you. Before you found God, God came looking for you. He justifies or declares righteous. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are declared righteous. We have a position of righteousness before Almighty God. And it goes so far as to say we're glorified. The reality is, we don't look very glorified, and some mornings we don't feel very glorified. And after my children get out of track, they don't smell glorified. But in God's way of looking at things, for those who are His own, for those who have or will put their trust in Him, it is a foregone conclusion. You are already glorified. Doesn't mean we're sinless. Doesn't mean any of that. You see, when it depends all on a sovereign God, which Romans teaches us, when our salvation depends on a sovereign God, which Romans tells us that's what it is, the Holy Spirit so far, the Father so far, when that is the case, we are secure. Why? Because He's almighty. He spoke the world into existence. We are secure Christians, not because of anything we have done, but because of what has been done for us. This morning, we could very rapidly look at seven questions. They're like a pop quiz that Paul gives to the Romans that he's writing to. But he's a good teacher. He gives a pop quiz that he knows they will know the answer to. He's asking the question because they already know the answer. First question, what shall we say of these things? Of what things? That God has done all of this for us. What shall we say about that? Well, we should say the answer is God is for us. If we look at that and we realize that, we know the answer is God is for us. And then he asked the question, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the understood answer is no one. What a cool thing that is, isn't it? To realize that nothing can stand against God, that no one can stand against us because of what, if God is for us, who is against us? And the answer is no one. Why? Because of the price God was willing to pay for you. How do we know that? How do we know that God is for us? We'll look at verse 32 of Romans chapter 8. It's 32, 33, and 34 really are the Easter story in a nutshell. He gave him, or he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That's another question. And the answer is, no one. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? And the answer is no one. It is Christ who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. If God will send his son to die in our place, to pay the ultimate sacrifice, if he will allow him to go to the cross, if he will allow him to take the weight of all sin, of all humanities upon himself, if he will call and draw people unto himself, the question is, who can stand against us? No one. No one. Who can condemn us? No one. Can a person come up? Do you know that Satan is referred to in the Bible as the accuser of the brethren? And my people have seen me do this before, but all what that means is that Satan is constantly going before God and saying, look at that guy sin. Look what he did. Look what he did. Look what he did. Look what he did. And Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father saying, paid for, paid for, paid for, paid for, done, taken care of, no charge, already paid for. Satan is, let me, and Christ is saying, I went to the cross. I went to the cross. As you look at this text, verse 35 asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer is, again, no one. And then really, can anything separate us? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecution? No. Shall famine? No. Shall nakedness? No. Shall peril? No. Shall the sword? No. You know that as you look at those things, those tribulations, those swords, those things, that those are a reality in the life of many Christians. It is not saying, this text is not saying that Christians won't face those things. In fact, it is implying that they will. We recognize that even in the day and age we are living in, people are dying because they are professing Christ. And the point is that separating them from, if they're God's, if they're His saints, when somebody comes and whacks off their head, is that separating them from the love of God? And Paul's answer is absolutely not. The glory that is waiting for us in heaven is there, and it is secure, and nothing can rob us of that. I'm going to close by asking you to look at one passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. It is found in Psalm 145, and I believe it's verse 20. The psalmist here in Psalm 145 is praising God. He says in verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him. I'm assuming that that is most of you in this room. That you have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that's everybody in this room. That you have put your faith and trust in that cross and a risen Savior. But there is a second part to verse 20. But all the wicked He will destroy. But all the wicked He will destroy. So here's the sum of it. Christian, if you truly are a follower of Christ, you cannot lose, no matter what happens to you. No matter what. But if you are not one of His own, if you reject Him, you will face destruction, damnation, separation for all of eternity. Pretty serious business.